Welcome to another edition of So Loved, the radio ministry of Cummings Park Church in beautiful Menlo Park, California. Cummings Park is a word-based church that is family-oriented, God-loving, and people-loving. For more, visit their website at cummingsparkchurch.com. Now, with today's message, here is your teacher for So Loved, the senior pastor at Cummings Park Church, Memphis Lachesen.
If you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of John, chapter 13, verse 34 and 35. And today I want to talk to you all about the subject of love and grace. And specifically, we're going to be talking about grace, the free gift. And so let's read the book of John, chapter 13, together in unison. And when you have that ready, say amen. Ready? Read. A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one to another. And today, as I mentioned, I want to talk to you all about the subject of love and grace. And over the past year, we've been talking about love and its relationship to many other subjects. Last week we talked about love and sacrifice. Another time we talked about love and leadership. We've talked about love and other subjects also. And so we want to make sure, of course, that our primary motivation as Christians and as followers of Jesus is love. Amen. That's what we always want to make sure our primary motivation, and what I mean by motivation, the very reason for which you do what you do. Everything that we do should be based in love. We shouldn't have strings attached to why we do what we do. We shouldn't have any ulterior motives. But Jesus said that the way that people will recognize that we are his disciples is because we love one another. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean that's what makes us disciples. You see the difference there? Let me say that again. Jesus said that the way that people will recognize that we are his disciples is through the love that we have for one another. But that's not necessarily what makes us disciples. What makes us disciples is us being disciplined in the word of God. Amen. Being disciplined in the teaching of God, being disciplined in following Jesus. And what makes us a Christian also is because we have Christ on the inside of us. That's what makes us a Christian. We are in Christ, as I talked about last week. That's what makes us a Christian. And so even though the world will recognize that we're disciples because we love one another, that's not necessarily what makes us disciples. They'll recognize it through that, but that's not what makes us disciples. Amen. We are disciples because we continue in his word, as Jesus said in John chapter 8. And so we want to make sure, though, that we are motivated by love. And I say this every so often because I really want this to be our, so to speak, motto of this church, that we are saved by grace. We walk by faith and we're motivated by love. Amen. Yes. Say that together with me and personalize. Say, I am saved by grace. I walk by faith and I'm motivated by love. And I often thought about these three subjects, love, grace, and faith. Love, grace, and faith. And these are some really, in many ways, simple concepts, but also kind of complicated, too. Because it's like God's, so to speak. God is very simple, but he's infinite, and he's someone that you can never really come to a total concept of knowing who he is. He's inexhaustible. In other words, it's going to take a lifetime and beyond for us to really grasp God, right? And so likewise, the subject of love, so likewise, the subject of grace and even faith. But these are three subjects we need to just teach on. We need to teach on because they're milestones and really the heartbeat of who we are as Christians. We have to know that we're saved by grace. We're not saved by our works. Amen. By faith, we have access to grace. That's how we access grace. And through love, we're motivated to walk by faith. Through love, right? And then the process is we love, and through that we'll produce our faith, and through our faith we will produce grace in our lives. Amen? And so I'm going to talk about that in detail today. So through love, it will produce faith. And through faith, it will produce the grace of God in our lives. Amen? And so we have to understand that. But it's all going to start with what? With love. Amen. It's all going to start with love. We have to be motivated by love. We have to understand that God loves me, and that same love that he has for me, I'm going to dispense that out to others. And so I'm going to be a love distributor. I'm going to be a love distributor. I'm going to distribute love. Amen. To other people. And through my love for other people, my faith will begin to work. My faith will begin to work. Why? Because I love people. You know what? I'll step out on a limb. Why? Because I love people. I'll step out when I can't see or know what to do. Why? Because I love people. I'll be willing to put myself on the line because I love people, right? And then that faith will produce the grace of God. Now, let's talk about for a minute these three before I really jump into it. What is love? Love is really, just to really make it simple, love is unselfish, just being unselfish. Not thinking of self, right? And I've taught on this, so I don't really have to go into too much detail of it. And faith is simply taking what God says in his word and believing it and doing it. Simply taking what God says in his word and believing it and doing it. Now, what is grace? Grace is God's unmerited favor, his unearned blessing, salvation. And so when we think of everything that we get from God, the healing, the protection, the salvation, the blessings, the favor, the goodness of God, all that encompasses God's grace. All of it. It all encompasses God's grace. God's grace is the total package of all of that. But it's when he gives it to you unearned or unmerited. You didn't work for it. Amen. And the Bible says this. The Bible says, and we'll see this very clearly, the Bible says that we're no longer under the law, but we're under grace. We're in what the Bible calls the dispensation of grace. And this word dispensation is just another word for administration, or how God administers his blessings is through his grace, through the grace of God. Amen. And so we see this very clearly in scripture, that we are motivated by love, we walk by faith, and we are saved by grace. And so you don't ever want to get those confused or mixed up, because in order for us to really receive God's grace, because what we'll see is, you know, God's grace has been poured out to everybody, just like his love has been poured out to everybody, and just like he's dealt to every man the measure of faith. Everyone receives those three, but my question has always been, and we'll really address this, is how come not everyone is operating in it abundantly the way we should be? And so everything in the kingdom of God, or everything that God has for us, it all starts with your belief. It all starts with belief. And so we all have to believe this, and you have to receive it. And those are really the only things that you have to do. You have to believe it and you have to receive it. Now, do you have to work hard for it? No. Do you have to slave for it? No. Do you have to do a whole bunch of A, B's, and C's, 10 steps to this, 10 steps to that? No. Just simply believe and receive. That's it. God hasn't made it hard for us to receive. He just said believe and receive. And that's really the only part that we play. We don't play any other part. Everything else is God's doing. The only part we play is we believe and we receive what he has already paid for, what he's already worked for, what he's already gotten for us. Amen?
And that really is the gospel. That's the good news. What? You mean to tell me all I got to do is just believe and receive? I don't got to work for it. I don't got to keep any law. I don't got to do any righteousness. You just believe and receive. That's like too good to be true. And so that's the way God made it. He's not trying to keep us out of heaven. He's not trying to keep us out of blessings. He's not trying to keep us out of favor, but he's really trying to make it easy for us as possible. Just believe and receive. Somebody say that with me. Say believe and receive. Now, one thing that I found in many churches and even amongst many Christians today is that they tend to feel, and every so often we tend to feel like we have to work for our salvation. Let's just be honest. And us trying to work for our salvation, trying to really work for the blessings of God or the favor of God, for the healing of God, for the protection of God, us trying to work for it. The issue with that is that it's motivated by fear. That's the issue of it. And anytime we try to work for something that God has already given, the implication is that if I don't work for it, I won't get it. Does that make sense? So in other words, the whole reason why I'm trying to work for it is because of fear that if I don't, I won't get it. And anytime we're motivated by fear, it's the wrong thing. And as Brother Reggie and I were talking about this week, Satan has access to our lives through fear. And so when we're motivated by fear to do something right, guess what? Satan has access. Even though you're motivated by fear and you're trying to do something right, he still has access because you're doing it based out of fear. Man, that's mind-blowing to me because I'm sitting up here trying to do something right, but the whole reason why I'm doing it is because I'm afraid that if I don't do it, God won't bless me. God won't heal me. God won't deliver me, right? God won't protect me. So that's the reason why I'm coming to church. That's the reason why I'm doing this. That's the reason why I'm doing that. And you know what? Satan is able to get into your life all based on your motivation. All based on your motivation. Now, all he needs is a little inch. That's all he needs. Now, when we do stuff out of fear, what happens is the next thing that comes into place is sin. That's the very next thing that happens because lust, the law of sin and death, and I'll get into a little bit of detail of this. There's a law that's called the law of sin and death. And then the law of sin and death says lust, when it has conceived, it brings forth sin, and sin, when it's finished, it brings forth death. In James chapter 1, verse 13, all the way down. And what produces the fear is the lust. That's what produces the fear. Because we want something so bad, we have a strong desire for something so bad that, you know, you want to be blessed by God. Could be a good desire. But remember, lust is not always negative either. Actually, it is a good desire that you want to be blessed by God. That's a great desire. That's a good desire. But when you want it so bad to the point to where you're afraid that if you don't do A, B, and C, now you won't get it, then what happens is you actually begin to produce the fear that's going to bring about the sin. So in other words, you want to be blessed so bad that you'll do it at the expense of others.
We all have natural desires. We want to be blessed. We want to be healed. We want to be delivered. We want to be protected. But that's why God says this. He says, you know what? You have to believe and receive that you already have it. You already have it. You have to believe and receive that you already have it, that you have it 2,000 years ago. Because if you don't believe that you already have it, then you'll go try to work to go get it. And that work that you do will be based in fear, because if you don't work, then you won't get it. But the deception in all this that Satan's not telling you is that you already have it. See, God's telling you that you already have it. He said, I've blessed you with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. Remember when I read that last week, Ephesians? We've already been blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. All spiritual blessings means all. That means the healing. That means the deliverance. That means the prosperity. That means the anointing. That means you already have it in you. If Christ is in you, then guess what? He brought everything He has with him in you. And so you already have it. So you're not trying to work to get something based out of fear. Now, am I saying not to work? No, I'm not saying not to work. What I'm saying is you don't work to get the blessing. You already have the blessing. You work because you love the Lord. There you go. Like reading my mind. You work simply because you love God. That's the motivation. You don't tithe because you're trying to get blessed. No, I'm already blessed. I tithe because I love God. That's why I tithe. If God didn't bless me, guess what? I would still tithe. Why? Because I love him. That's why I don't get up here and preach, because I'm getting paid. If I didn't get paid, guess what? I would still be up here preaching because I preach because I love God. That's the motivation for everything that we do. And so out of love, the work is produced. Yes. But when you start thinking, you know what? I don't have this and I don't have that. And guess what? Lord, I need you to do this. And Lord, I need you to do that. Now your work is going to be based out of fear because you're thinking, you know what? I don't have it. So the desire is good. And I say lust, though, because lust is usually in the Bible. It says lust, but lust is nothing more than a strong desire for something, a desire that really can't be quenched, where you get to a point to where you don't know where the brakes are at. Let me just show this to you really quick. Go over to James chapter 1, verse 13. The law of sin and death. We see in James chapter 1, verse 13. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man, but every man is tempted when he is what? He is drawn away of his own lust. So that lust is that desire. It's your own desire for whatever you have, then you're enticed. And when the lust has conceived, it brings forth sin, and sin, when it's finished, bringeth forth death. And so that's the process of the law of sin and death. But in the middle of that, right after the lust comes the fear. Right after the desire comes the fear. But see, God's law, which is called the law of spirit of life in Christ Jesus, that's God's law, the law of spirit of life in Christ Jesus. The very first thing that we see there is not the lust, but it's love. You see that? It's love. And so just like lust is selfishness, love is unselfishness. And so that's really the difference. The desire that you have is your love for somebody. I love somebody, therefore I want them. I have a desire for them. I love them, but it's unselfish. And so that unselfishness will produce the faith that's needed. And the faith that's needed will produce the righteous acts, the work. That's the work that you have, you see? And then the righteous acts will produce the life and everything you need that's in grace, okay? And so likewise with the law of sin and death, you have the lust, then you have the fear, and then you have the sinful acts, and then you have death, ultimately death that happens at the end. All right, so let's look at this in a little bit more detail. Turn over with me to Romans chapter 8, and then we'll turn over to John. Romans chapter 8, and let's look at verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in who? Who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from which law? The law of sin and death. You see that? So the law of spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. So every spiritual law rests on these two laws. You have the law of sin and death on one side, and then you have the law of spirit of life in Christ Jesus on the other side. And Deuteronomy says it this way. He says, I place before you life and death, blessing and cursing. And then he says, you choose. You choose. So man is a free moral agent. We've been given the ability to choose life. And I had a Jehovah Witness ask me the other day, they said, well, have you ever thought about why God allows evil? And I said, sure I have. And I simply told him, I said, it's because of choice. In order for God to love us the right way, he had to give us a choice. He couldn't force his will upon us and make us choose him. But he had to give us a choice, and it's based out of his love for us. He wanted us to choose him freely because we wanted to, not because he was forcing it upon us. And so because we all have choice, you can either choose to do good or you can choose to do evil. And because of that choice, because God doesn't want to violate our choice, he allows evil to persist. He allows it. But there'll be a day when he'll end it. Right. But for now, he's allowing us to choose what we want to choose until the time limit has expired. And so God's placed before us life and death, blessing and cursing. And he tells us to choose. And so we have the law of sin and death on one side, the law of spirit of life in Christ Jesus on the other side. And through the law of spirit of life in Christ Jesus, if we learn to operate in that law, then everything that we need is there and we will receive it if we believe it and receive it. Amen. Amen. Okay. Now turn over with me now to John, the book of John, and let's see something here. Now, the purpose of my message today is really to show us that we are under grace and that we don't have to work for our salvation or work for the healing or work for anything that we have been already given by God. It's not something we work for. Now, it is something, as we'll see in Philippians, we work out. And there's a difference. The Bible says to work out your salvation, not work for it. Amen. And we'll see that in John chapter 1. Let's look at this here. Let's begin at verse 16. And I've been meditating on this all week, and this is really powerful when you really understand what it's saying. Look at verse 16. He says, "And of his fullness have we all received, and grace for grace." Now, of whose fullness is he talking about? Jesus' fullness. Amen. Because if you read the context, it's talking about Jesus, how he became the Word of God, became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten, in verse 16. And of his fullness have we all received. Now, are you included in that all? You better believe it. I like that Pastor Love and Julie, they got a revelation of this. Oh, yes. They receive it. Amen. That's how we all got to be. We got to know, you know what? I have received his fullness. And in fact, Colossians, it says you are complete in him. It says he has in him the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And then it goes on to say, and you are complete in him. My goodness. So in other words, because he has the fullness of the Godhead bodily dwelling in him and I'm complete in him, guess what I have in me? The fullness of the Godhead bodily. Amen.
Praise God.
And so if I have the fullness of the Godhead bodily dwelling in me because Christ is in me, then what that tells me is I have everything I need. I have received all the fullness of him. Now look at this. Guess what he calls this fullness of him? Grace for grace. Grace for grace. My goodness, favor on favor. Now, keep in mind, the grace that we have includes everything. That's what grace is. It is his unmerited favor, his unmerited blessing. Everything that you can ever think of, the whole package, salvation. Salvation, that's what salvation is. I think many times we tend to think that salvation is just being saved from hell. Well, I got salvation. I no longer have to go to hell. But what people are ignorant of, most Christians are ignorant, that salvation does not just only include just hell.
You've been listening to So Loved, the radio ministry of Cummings Park Church with Senior Pastor Memphis Lachesson. Cummings Park Church is located in Menlo Park, California, and their mission is a simple one: to demonstrate the unconditional love of God to every individual so that they may be convinced of the great love that God, through Jesus Christ, has for them. The church family meets together every Sunday and again on Wednesday. You're welcome to call for more information at 650-323-1577 or visit CummingsParkChurch.com. As a reminder, So Loved is supported financially by listeners like you. Donations to support this program can be sent to Cummings Park Church, 531 Pierce Road, Menlo Park, California, 94025. Yeah, he loves.